Good evening. Good to see everybody out tonight, and glad to have you in class. If we've got any visitors, we are studying about overcoming sin, and our lesson tonight is on gossip. It's lesson 9, page 69. Does anybody need a book to look at? Okay, everybody's got a book. We're in good shape. But Daryl's going to lead our opening prayer before we get started.
If you bow with me, please. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this time which you've given us to study that word. And pray that each one of us open our minds and open our hearts, that we look to your words, that we apply them to our life in spite of what we want, that we do what you want. Heavenly Father, as we study these different subjects, that we remember that we are your servant, your slave, that we have joined you willingly, and that we are to be changed from this world, we are to be different. Remember this every day as we go through our life. And pray that we have the patience and forgiveness that you've given us, that we can apply these things to the people around us as we live our life. Heavenly Father, be with the congregation as they study your word tonight, that all of us remember the things that we've studied and apply them. And this we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Get that out of the way. Maybe it'll be the only one. We are to try and be that light and let God's word and his will be reflected in us any day, every day. Does anybody ever get challenged with that? Let's see. I can think of a couple of times this week already for me. You know, just people you have to deal with and things that happen, and you have to, you know, engage your brain before you do your mouth. And sometimes that's hard to do, but that's what we're charged to do. And we talked about the tongue before. What were a couple of the things that we talked about on Sunday morning? What was the scripture? Does anybody remember the scripture in Proverbs that we looked at specifically that kind of said, this is a foundational piece of what we ought to be thinking about with regard to how we are shaping our character and how important God is to us? Anybody remember what it was? It's not in the book. Proverbs 1:7. Yeah, and we read everything up to that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So our lives should be about fearing God in a very respectful and humble way, and keeping his commandments, and that's the beginning of us being able to have knowledge, believing it and trying to apply it to our lives. But it also talks about fools and how fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we choose. We choose to be wise and submissive and humble and a reflection of God, or we choose to be a fool. So that's a choice we make every day, every minute of every day, because things happen. And we've got to decide where we're going to put ourselves. There was another one that we talked about too, and it was James, the third chapter, and the power of the tongue, and how, you know, the tongue has impact, and we've got to decide whether we're going to control it. We talked about the scriptures with the ship. It's a small rudder, but look at what it does. And we talked about the horse and the bit in its mouth, and how such a little thing controls such a big animal. And we think about, you know, there's things going on in the world that we live in today. Think politics. Think tongues. Think of things people are saying. I was just thinking the other day, I thought, what are other countries thinking about what's going on in our country right now with regard to our presidential race? Naomi says, probably think we're crazy. Yeah. I don't know. It's a sad commentary on where we are as a country, in my estimation of just trying to evaluate it and think about the things that are important to us and what the Bible says we're supposed to do, as opposed to some of the things that are going on. So, anyway, you know, these are things that we don't want to be a part of our lives. We talked about how it is. And, you know, as we framed gossip and we talked about slander, did anybody walk away from class on Sunday morning thinking a little bit different about gossip than maybe you have in the past. You know, maybe you've been engaged in it and you didn't mean to be. You know, just because you're putting yourself in the middle of something and you don't want to be there, you shouldn't be there. And all these things that we talked about too. So we've got to make sure to, you know, remove ourselves from situations where we're not going to be a hindrance to somebody, where we're potentially going to hurt somebody, where we're potentially going to get in the middle of something that's not going to be good for us as a Christian. And I kind of left off in this and a couple of these things. If we're going to say something and we think it might be gossip, then it probably is. But be sure and taste your words before you spit them out. That's thinking about something before you actually say it. Before speaking, please make sure your tongue is connected to your brain. I like that one. How many times is it not? I mean, and that's when the bad stuff comes out. And this is the last one I left with. A sharp tongue and a dull mind are usually found in the same head. That sounds kind of like Proverbs 1:7, right? So, what are we going to be? What are we going to choose to be? Just like I was talking about with the kids, I always talk about choices, choices, choices. I mean, if I said life is about choices one time to our children, I said it a gazillion times. Now, did they always make the right choices? I'm sure they didn't. But do you think they got that echoing in their ear of choices, choices, choices? Now, we all need to think that same way every day in our lives to try and make the best decisions we can. And this is one of my personal sayings. Sometimes the best thing says nothing at all. You know, sometimes, and aren't we in positions sometimes where we feel like we've got to make a comment? I want to say something. And maybe it's just not right. Maybe it's not appropriate. And sometimes when we get exposed to something we don't even mean to, that's another example of sometimes the best thing to say is nothing at all. You hear something you didn't mean to, just forget you even heard it. Because it might not be something that's going to be beneficial to anyone. The tongue has no bones, but is strong enough to break a heart. Be careful with your words. The things you say about others say a lot about you. Soak on that one for just a minute. The things I say about other people say a lot about me. Am I always cutting people down? Am I always giving people a hard time? Am I always looking for the worst in people? Am I trying to participate in gossip or belittle people? If that's the case, what does that say about me? If I'm trying to build people up, if I'm trying to encourage people, if I'm trying to help people, if I'm trying to be the light that it talks about in 1 John, the first chapter, in verses 5 through 7, that says good stuff. That's what we're supposed to try and be. So, you know, we got to do our best to try and take all of that and apply it to our lives. Comments, questions, anything about any of that stuff or anything that we talked about on Sunday morning. Don't be bashful. Had somebody over at the house and we were talking. Jenny was getting ready to say something and I said, wait a minute. This isn't gossip, is it? No, she said. Okay, good. I didn't want to hear it. Okay, so let's talk about the damage caused by gossip. Page 69, the bottom of the page. Sometimes it reveals secrets. Secrets that people don't intend for other folks to know. Proverbs 11:13, right there in the book. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. How important is trust? If you tell me something, and you say, I want to tell you something I'm going to trust you not to tell anybody, and you go hear it from somebody else. What have I done to your trust in me, Byron? It's gone, right? So you might not say anything about it, but you won't ever say anything else. So, you know, that's part of that process. And anybody ever been in that situation before? You tell somebody something, you say, hey, don't tell anything about it. And lo and behold, you hear it back from somebody else. So, we don't want to put ourselves in that kind of position. It is a problem. Next one is, it can kindle strife. And again, look at all these verses that are in Proverbs. And it is the book of wisdom. So that stands to reason that we would have a lot of verses that would be tied to Proverbs. Proverbs 26, 20, 21. As a charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is the contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the innermost body. So it's like, what happens? You build your fire out in the woods, and you're camping out. If you don't put any wood on it, it goes out, right? It just goes away. But do you ever see people that just pick and pick and pick and pick and try and just keep something alive and keep causing problems and make it a deal? You ever see people like that? That's what that's talking about. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, too. And that's what we're going to do tonight, is look at a lot of these scriptures. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven, are an abomination to Him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. That all kind of ties together. You think about somebody running about, sowing discord, telling lies. You know, here's another thing to think about. If we hear something and we go share it with somebody else and we don't know it to be the truth, it's a lie. So if we're sharing something that's secondhand, and we didn't get it from a source, and we went on and passed it on, we're fundamentally telling a lie if it's not the truth. On top of it being gossip. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong there. Does that sound about right? Idle chatter. You know, is this kind of like what we talked about last week, where we feel like we want to be in the know? We want to know what's going on. We want to be in the middle of something. So what? What difference does it make? And if it's going to create a problem, why we want to put ourselves in that position? It separates friends. How many times have friendships been destroyed as a result of somebody's tongue? Proverbs 16, 27 and 28. An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. Think about how that relates back to the tongue and how it's talked about in James, the third chapter. The tongue is a fire, a whirl of iniquity, set on fire by hell. It's saying the same thing in Proverbs. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisper separates the best of friends. To have a friend, you got to be a friend. And you certainly wouldn't want to do that to somebody that you call your friend. So, you know, again, choices, individual responsibilities, brings anger. In Proverbs, the 25th chapter, in verses 23 and 29, 22. 25, 23. The north wind brings forth rain and a backbiting tongue and angry countenance. You know, our disposition, the way we treat other people, and the things it's going to do to them if we put them in that kind of position too. An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. Anger, fury, lies, all these things, they tie together and just create problems. And it shows us to be a fool in Proverbs, the 17th chapter, in verses 27 through 28. Proverbs 17, 27 through 28. This is good. This is a really good one. They all are. But he who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. So, that kind of goes back to sometimes the best thing to say is nothing at all. That's my interpretation of, I guess, that proverb. So, sometimes it is best to say nothing at all. Okay, so the next piece there in the book is on page... Sorry, that was all on page 70, and now we're over to page 71 there. How to overcome the sin of gossip? Gossip can be overcome through the patience and self-control that we choose to take and apply to our lives. You know, when we were talking about lies, we were talking about telling untruths, passing along something that we don't know the full truth about, and we could be basically spreading a lie. And we know that liars are identified in all of the type of characteristics that should not be a part of our lives if we're going to be pleasing in the sight of God. We can't have that be a part of who we are. And in John, the 8th chapter, in verses 42 through 44, who does it say is the father of the lie? It says Satan is the father of the lie. So if lying is a part of who we are, then Satan's our father. And he's who we serve. So is that who we are? Not who I want to be. So, you know, Travis.
Thanks. I was just thinking when you were on the previous page, you don't have to go back, it's fine.
Yeah.
But we always think we can see evidence of what the tongue can do. You talked about the political season, what we're in right now.
Right.
I mean, how fractured are we as a nation right now? It's insane to the point that other countries have talked about it, and they think that it's the craziest, and they're just thankful to be wherever they are and not here. It's that big of a mess. But I do wonder, do we ever consider the effect of gossip or this sort of, well, hate to use this term, but it came to mind, diarrhea of the mouth. We talk about other churches. You know, we tend to look around at other congregations and be real critical. And it's fine if we're happy where we are and we feel good about the direction of West End. But you know, there's a lot of people striving to serve God. And when all we want to do is point the finger and talk about all the things they're doing wrong, that has such a negative effect, not only within the church, but to those outside of it. And it really... really retards the progress of the gospel. People don't want to hear it. They're not interested in being a part of something that's so fractured because they see that everywhere. You know, the term is everyone's a critic. And if that's what we are, then we're the same as everybody else. And we full well know that God calls us to be different.
Why do we tend to be critics?
That's easy.
Yeah,
easy
that is
to be
easy.
Critical. And it makes me feel so much better if I can't achieve a higher state to at least tear you down below me.
And criticism is a very uninformed position.
Very true. It is
right?
Born of ignorance. And, you know, I always thought that Christians ought to give everyone the benefit of the doubt. Even to our own chagrin, give everyone the benefit of the doubt. And if it hurts us, it hurts us, so what?
Good point. And, yeah, for sure, I mean, as a church, we need to do everything we can to have the most positive impact that we can. Because the damage can be great. In the church, outside of the church, overall, period. Okay, the next questions on page 71 there. Is it true? And again, knowing the truth about something is so important, especially in not repeating that thing unless you know that it is. And then if you do know it to be the truth, is it even your place to repeat it or not? 18:13, I think, is the scripture there. And 17. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. 18:13. He doesn't really know it to be true, but he speaks to it anyway. The first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. Does it stand up as the truth? Is it the truth? Do we know it to be the truth? And again, that's, like I say, that generally, if it doesn't involve us, why do we think we need to know? Why do we think we have to be in the middle of it? Okay, is it going to build up or is it going to tear down? Romans 14:19. And that kind of goes to the point that Travis was making just a minute ago. Romans 14:19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. So if we're not going to edify somebody, if we're not going to help to build somebody up, if we're not going to be trying to do something that's going to be positive instead of negative, then what kind of impact is it going to have? And again, we need to give a lot of thought to that, because I think sometimes we don't. It's real easy to say something. It's hard to get it back after it's said, like we talked about before. Have I talked to them first? Let's look at that one. Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained a brother. So how's that supposed to work? Not everybody at the same time. If your brother has sinned against you, and tell him his fault between you and him alone, if he hears you, you've gained a brother. How does that relate to what we're talking about? Gossip. I have a respondent.
Well, instead of going to everybody else to tell them about it, you go to the person that you have an issue with.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you got something that needs to be discussed. Somebody else in here. Shannon, over here too. Daryl, please.
When I was younger, whenever a boss would make me mad, instead of going to the boss and discussing the situation, I would go to my coworkers and just preach their funeral, so to speak. You know,
oh, wow.
That's just not right. You know, that's what we're talking about here, gossip. When you just rip somebody to shreds because you're angry with them, and the same thing can hold true in the church. You know, Travis hit on talking about other churches, but the husband and wife private talks at home about people of the church and what goes on there. We have to be careful on that. Even if there's no one else to witness or hear it, we still don't need to be doing that, even in the privacy of our own homes.
Good point.
Because it's still gossip and it's still sin and abomination in the eyes of God, and we've got to be careful to do that.
Great. And so, you know, to that point, though, I mean, it's like the impact the husband has on a wife, or the impact a wife has on a husband with regard to what's said. Okay, then put a couple of kids in the car. So what are those kids getting? Bad example, Ms. Ruby says. And I agree with that. But what are, I mean, it's like, okay, so, well, let's think about it. Well, Curtis went 5 minutes long today. There's a congregation we used to go to, and this guy was, he predated us, and this was in Somerset. So I never got to experience it personally, but apparently this guy sat on about the third pew. And if he thought the preacher had gone long enough, he'd go. Bring that arm up just as far as he could go, and then bring it down, put it right in front of his face. That's nonverbal communication, right? No, well, I don't think so. But, you know, the example that we have on our kids. If we're saying, oh, this is a problem, this is a problem, that's a problem. So what do the kids think about church? It's a problem. Church is a problem. Why don't I want to go? There's a problem. So what kind of influence have we had? You know, and if it's probably a problem with me if I'm making it a problem. If I'm not getting out of it what I need to, am I putting into it what I need to? That's always been, you know, when there's a problem for me, it's because I wasn't investing what I needed to, generally speaking. So, you know, it's just important for us to think about those things. And when there's something to be talked about, make sure that we do that. Here's the other part. This is the tough one. Have I examined myself? Matthew 7:3-5. Self-examination. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you don't consider the plank in your own eye? And Gary talked about this one. Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove that speck out of your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. So why is self-examination hard? Why we have a hard time with that? Yeah, Naomi says we can't see ourselves like other people do. What else? I agree with that. Might find out we're wrong. That's true. Yeah, they find it easier to judge somebody else than they do judge themselves. Well, what's wrong with, I mean, why do we have such a hard time with self-examination? Why is that hard? Pride. We've already talked about that. We don't want to admit our shortcomings. We do have to. I mean, if we're going to be what God wants us to be, if there's any way that we're going to be constantly working toward refining ourselves to be what He wants us to be, we have to. We're never going to reach perfection. And as long as we're able to walk through that door or open our Bible and study at home, pray, meditate, we've always got to be working toward that. And none of us are going to reach perfection. We're all going to continue to make mistakes. But we have to be working toward seeing ourselves for how God sees us. You know, we need to have the perspective that God has on who we are and what we're doing. Is there anybody in this room that doesn't have a realistic understanding of who you are? It's just whether you're willing to admit it or not. Sam?
I think one of the ways we've been looking at this is from the active participant of spreading gossip, but it takes two. You've got to look at it from the person who is receiving the gossip. So maybe I don't go out and spread it, but I like to hear it.
Yeah.
So we got to put ourselves in both positions. When we come across someone that is gossiping to us, how do we handle that? Do we tell them stop?
I want to hear some other feedback, but yeah, what do you do when somebody's getting ready to lay it on you? Travis,
I'm not answering your question.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
When you were talking about examining yourself, I thought about James 1:23 and the whole idea of the man who looks into the mirror, observes himself, then forgets what he looks like.
Yep.
Later goes on to tell us that if we look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere. You know, the whole idea is that you examine yourself so that you can improve. Who doesn't want to be better? Everybody wants to be better. I mean,
everybody doesn't want to be better. They'd be trying harder.
Well, I think they want to be. They just don't want to do the work to get there.
Well, that's probably a good
way to say that. It's like I remember asking a teacher if you could learn by osmosis. You put the book under your pillow and sleep, you know, and it go through your brain. We'd love to learn, we just don't want to go the hard work. Same thing with being a Christian. It just takes effort. We're not always willing to do that.
That's true about a whole lot of things in life, period. Okay, so back to Sam's question of what do you do to somebody that's getting ready to lay the big gossip on you? I agree. Naomi said, number one, sometimes you just have to walk away. And then they're thinking, well, what's wrong with her? So what, right? Say that again. Hand her the microphone, Clint.
You could try to turn the conversation around by saying something positive about the person whenever the other person talking is saying something negative.
Okay. Try and turn a bad situation into a positive situation as much as possible. And, I think you can almost, in a nice way, confront that person with exactly what we're saying here. And that is, you know, I really don't know what the true matter of this deal is, and so I don't think it's best for me to get in the middle of it. And then walk away. So that you have an opportunity to kind of let them know that you're taking a position to not participate in that exercise. And then hopefully that will put them in a position to know that in the future when they've got something juicy they want to share, that they're not going to tell you.
I left that open-ended, but actually it's our requirement. It's our job, not job, but we're told, confront that brother or sister. So if a gossiper does come to us, we need to confront them. Now, but as you said, you got it in a nice and a positive way.
Yeah.
You might take you about a dozen times to get through a really good one, but that's a hard habit to break.
So to be an encourager of someone, say, really, what would you accomplish by telling me that? To try and challenge them a little bit, to get them to do a little self-examination too. So, you know, if it wasn't a problem, God wouldn't have put the scripture in here that he has for us to be able to study and understand. So self-examination is really important. Number five, why am I really wanting to do this? Proverbs 18 and 8. Motivation. Why are you in the middle of something like that? 18:8. Yeah, let's go on up a little bit further there and start with 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the innermost body. We read that one a while ago, but still, it's all about the fool being able to control their mouth, the things that they say and the impact that they have, and that it's a snare for our soul. It's something that's going to put us in a position where we're going to be in a contrary relationship with God. And then it's the next part is like, yeah, everybody wants to know it, but it's not going to be for what is good at the end of the day. What do you think people's motivation is sometimes for wanting to be in the middle of gossip? And we talked a little bit about this on Sunday. Daryl?
Be the first one to tell it.
Be the first one to tell it.
Whatever it is.
Inform position. You know, I know something that somebody else doesn't know. Why else do you think that's probably it? That's a pride issue, right? What are other reasons that somebody might do that? Come on over here, Gut. Everyone over here. What's that? Ego and pride.
I think a lot of times it's just that we want to have something to talk about. Because I know as a stay-at-home mom, a lot of times I don't have anything to talk about except the kids and dirty diapers.
We want to have something to talk about. And you know what? I think if it's with our mother or if it's with somebody that we're encountering in a work relationship or maybe somebody's providing a service or whatever, what are we as Christians supposed to be? What does God's Word say that we're supposed to be to the world? A light to the world, right? So how many times in any given day in interacting with other people do we let our light shine about what we have to say? How many times do we try and direct a conversation about God, about our relationship with God? Should we be comfortable doing that? There's not any of us in here that are Christians that shouldn't be comfortable doing that. Should we? And it can be a little thing, and maybe, you know, you can start with a little thing, and it might open a door, and you might be able to have more of a conversation with somebody. And what's the worst that can happen? What's the worst that can happen? They kind of blow you off, and, you know, they don't pay any attention to you. But if you bring something positive to the table, as opposed to letting them pull you into something to talk about that really doesn't mean anything, how much better off are you if you've done that for them? And again, we're talking about motivation for why people do things. Maybe that's what we do, Sam, when we get into one of those situations where somebody's trying to do something bad, and we turn it right back around where we're talking about positive, making a negative a positive, and we say, you know, I'm not perfect, and neither is anybody else, but I'm trying to do what I can to be what God wants me to be. And we all ought to be trying to help each other accomplish that. Why can't we say that? Anybody tell me why we can't say that? We should. Shannon. I think that's what God expects us to say.
In some workplaces now, it's forbidden to say that. You can get written up.
Really?
Yes.
Is that right? Wow. So gossip is, that's not a write-upable offense, though, I'm sure. Huh? Yeah, that's okay. Anything else? Okay. And then there was Proverbs 17:19. I didn't look at that one. He who loves transgressions loves strife, and he who exalts his gate seeks destruction. Again, the same kind of thought process of just somebody wanting to be negative and not doing something that's positive. In that paragraph under 5, it says, we're not to ignore sin, but if we love the person and want what is best for them, we'll conceal the matter from public view and spare our loved one much embarrassment. If we love the pleasure of gossip, we're going to repeat the matter and watch the destruction that follows. And have you ever seen anybody that kind of does that? They lay in wait. And they're just kind of wanting to see how things unfold after something gets told. And how destructive is that? It's terrible, isn't it? And they're really just kind of reveling in it, too. It's like, yeah, I thought that's what happened. Just taking joy and pleasure in somebody else's trouble. And again, that's not something that can be a part of who we are. Matthew 7:12. Is it what I would want to have done to me? Let's go over to Matthew. It says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So what do we want done to us? We want to be treated that way? Talked about it before. How does it feel to be treated that way if you've ever been treated that way? Not good? You feel, you know, like people have used you, or they've lied to you, or they have, you know, not honored the trust that you've had in them? We just don't want to put ourselves in a position to have that kind of problem. You know, I guess if you really think about it, a lot of times it's like the scripture that talks about the company that we keep and the people that we associate ourselves with. If we find ourselves in situations where there's gossip or lies or rumors going on around about me, then could that possibly say something about who I'm choosing to associate with? What do you think? because there's some breach of character, might be a way to say it, if that's taking place. And, you know, if that's the kind of people I'm spending my time with, I've kind of put myself in that type of position. Any other comments? Okay, in conclusion there, it says, gossip is a sin that seeks to destroy another person for our own selfish pleasure. But I would also say that sometimes I think we can get in the middle of gossip and we don't even know we're there till it's already happened. And we got into it innocently, but before we know it, we're right in the middle, and it's not a good place to be. So we got to just be on our guard and make sure that we don't let ourselves get there. It's always been unfitting for a child of God to participate in gossip, whether it's the church or it's the world or it's friends or family or whoever it might be. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people. If we find that we've got a problem with the sin of gossip, we shouldn't overlook it or seek to excuse it. How do we deal with it? If we think that's something that we've been a part of, you know, the first thing we need to do is, if we've done it to somebody else, if I've done it to Travis, I need to go to Travis and I say, Travis, I owe you an apology. I said something about you that I shouldn't have. And I don't even know if it's true or not. And I hope you'll forgive me. You know, I'm sorry. Why do people have such a hard time with I'm sorry? Pride. Wow. It just keeps rearing its ugly head, doesn't it? Pride, 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 pride. It's a big, big problem. So we got to be willing to say I'm sorry. You know, if we're in gossip, I think the second thing we've got to do is we've got to remove ourselves from relationships where that creates a problem. And if it's a husband and a wife, then y'all need to talk to each other, because you're not going to remove yourself from that situation. What you're going to do is better understand how you should be trying to feed each other in a positive way as Christians, as opposed to taking away from that relationship by doing something that's going to be negative like this.
You were talking about the company that we keep, and anytime somebody gossips, it's not true, but sometimes people might gossip and it's not because of something. Maybe they're influenced by something that we said or did, and then they exaggerated it. So not in just the company that we keep, but examining our actions and what we say, and if there's something that stems from something that we've done that caused that person to make an exaggeration and then turn around and gossip about us.
Oh, there you go. And so we got to be careful what we say. And then finally, I go right back to what we started with, and that's Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. We've got a lot of instruction about gossip, and we need to make sure that it's not part of who we are. And then James, the third chapter with the tongue.
Yeah, one more thing is, I've been a Christian for 20 years, and I don't recall ever seeing anyone go up and confess the sin of gossip before the congregation. And that's a public sin. And I think, and I've known plenty of Christians who've gossiped, and I'm sure that I've been a part of it too. I have no doubt. But that seems to me like that's something that we need to be willing to go forward and confess and ask for forgiveness from the church.
I think the most important one is the individual, too. I think to be able to say, I've said something wrong, and I need to fix it. I've said something wrong about you, or two or three individuals, and I need to be man enough to go to them and apologize and ask them to forgive me and pray to God for forgiveness for what I've done, too. If it's a sin, it's a sin. And sin is not 1 through 10. It's on a flat line in God's eyes. And we've got to recognize that and do the best we can to try and shape ourselves in the way that He would have us to be, like it talks about in Romans 12:1-2. So, hope everybody's enjoyed the study. I appreciate everybody's comments. Sunday morning, Gary, you ready for fear? All right. Sounds good. Thanks, everybody.